Discovery flies to infinity and beyond and back. Republic has the court's okay to acquire Frontier. And pilots at Hawaiian Airlines authorize a strike. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, September 14th, 2009. Space Shuttle Discovery and its crew of seven ended a 14-day journey Friday afternoon at Edwards Air Force Base in California, bringing to a close Mission STS-128. Discovery will be carried back to Kennedy Space Center in Florida on the back of a modified 747 to be readied for its next flight in March of next year. The mission delivered two refrigerator-sized equipment racks, a new sleeping compartment, and an air purification system to the International Space Station. There were also a couple of lighter moments. The mission delivered a treadmill named after TV comedian Stephen Colbert and brought home Buzz Lightyear. The Disney toy went to the station in May of last year aboard Discovery and became the longest-tenured crew member in space. While there, Buzz appeared in online educational outreach programs for NASA. Next up is the shuttle Atlantis for STS-129. That's currently targeted for November 12th. The U.S. Bankruptcy Court in New York on Thursday approved Frontier Airlines' plan to emerge from Chapter 11 bankruptcy and be acquired by Republic Airways Holdings. The plan was uncontested. Under the court-approved plan, the deal will be done on or about October 1st. The Sacramento Business Journal reports Republic plans to operate Frontier as a standalone operation. Frontier has cut jobs, planes, and costs and has shown several straight months of profitability. It's not clear whether Republic will continue to base the airline in Denver. The Journal reports Republic is given signs it might move about 250 of Frontier's Denver jobs to Milwaukee or Indianapolis. Hawaiian Airlines pilots, represented by the Airline Pilots Association, announced on Friday that 98% of pilots responding have voted to authorize a strike. The vote doesn't mean it's certain, but the bullets are in the chamber should union negotiators need to pull that trigger following a determination of impasse by the National Mediation Board. Captain Eric Sampson, chairman of the ALPA unit at Hawaiian Airlines, says the vote and its margin should be a wake-up call to the airline. Quote, "There has never been a strike in the 80-year history of our airline, and we don't want one now. But if that's what it takes to win a fair and reasonable contract, our pilots have told us loud and clear that they're ready to take that final step," unquote. Negotiators for ALPA and Hawaiian are scheduled to meet with a federal mediator October 12th in Washington, D.C. Up next on ANN, the FAA issues a bulletin for Rotax owners. The GAO says en route weather centers are not ready for consolidation. And a Carolina Hilo medevac provider picks Eurocopter. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 14th. I'm Paul Plack. The four-stroke Rotax 912 and turbocharged 914 engines are ubiquitous. They're installed in standard category aircraft from Diamond and several other European manufacturers, thousands of experimentals in the United States, and are the runaway favorite among manufacturers of light sport aircraft. The FAA has issued a special airworthiness information bulletin dealing with the possibility that in some installations, if the temperature of coolant as it exits the engine exceeds 120 degrees Celsius, cylinder heads may overtemp and engine damage may occur. The FAA suggests owners monitor the temperature of coolant as it exits, correlate it with cylinder head temps, and if your engine shows the potential to exceed 120, use waterless coolant. Rotax has already issued its own bulletins on the topic, one each for the 912 and 914, dated November 10, 2006. The U.S. Government Accountability Office, which works for the U.S. Congress, issued a report last week on the proposal by the FAA and the National Weather Service to consolidate 21 en route weather centers into just two. The report says the plan could, quote, "degrade aviation operations and safety and the agencies may not know it, unquote. The plan would provide 24/7 staffing at the Aviation Weather Center in Kansas City and at a new National Centers for Environmental Prediction office planned for the Washington, D.C. Metro in a transition taking 3 years. The Missouri Center is expected to handle the southern half of the U.S. The D.C. Center would handle the northern half. The two sites would be backups for each other, and 20 existing centers would be shuttered. The GAO questions whether there's a credible process for evaluating the effects on service or even a baseline from which such an assessment could be done, and challenges could include integration into next-gen air traffic control. Until these potential challenges are addressed, the GAO says the proposed restructuring has little chance of success. Carolina's healthcare system reports it plans to spend $16.5 million to upgrade its fleet of air ambulances with 3 new Eurocopter EC-135s. CEO Joe Piedmont says the purchases are planned over the next 18 months and will be partially offset by the sale of older Bell 430s. He adds that the new Eurocopters will reduce overall air ambulance operating expenses for the company by as much as $1.3 million a year. The Charlotte Business Journal reports that the fleet made 1,700 trips last year, transporting patients from accident scenes to medical facilities or ferrying them between hospitals. Still ahead today, Vicky Cruz is memorialized with a scholarship. Barbara Robinson has lost a battle for her life. And one day, you'll miss the little things. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, September 14th. I'm Paul Plack. At what was dubbed a celebration of life for the late president of the International Aerobatic Club, the 99s officially announced the formation of the Vicky Cruz Memorial Scholarship on Saturday. The first $30,000 donated over the next 5 years will be matched, with the Ventura County 99s pledging $5,000 in matching funds and Lightspeed Aviation pledging up to $25,000. The scholarship is very specialized, intended to provide financial aid to women pilots for emergency maneuver and aerobatic training. Cruz died in an accident August 22nd while preparing for an air show in the UK. Find more information about donating to the Vicky Cruz Memorial Scholarship Fund by following the link at the bottom of the text version of this story, dated August 12th at aero-news.net. ANN has learned that Barbara Robinson, Frank Robinson's wife and a former VP of Robinson Helicopter, passed away on August 13th after a 12-year battle with breast cancer. She was only 53. Frank Robinson told the South Bay Biz Waves from his vacation home in Washington State, his wife, quote, was primarily responsible for building up our dealer network. She handled marketing, sales, all of that, unquote. Barbara earned her pilot's license and became Whirly Girl number 385 in 1983. That's the same year she married Frank. Barbara remained a key figure at the growing company until 1995. She was buried in a private ceremony on August 17th. Our sympathies to Frank and the family. Finally today, they say you can't take it with you, and that applies to all physical treasures. But as the greatest generation continues its ever-hastening goodbye, there are keepsakes with such deep meaning they simply must be found. 65 years ago, First Lieutenant Bernard Harding of New Hampshire was huddled in the basement of a German farmhouse, captured by the farmer who lived there. He was a bomber pilot and reasoned he might be treated badly or killed if his captors knew it, so he buried his wings in the basement's dirt floor. Now, at 90 years old, he'd like to have them back. WCAX-TV in Vermont reports that Harding traveled to Germany in an attempt to locate the house and the wings. He searched four houses in a small town southwest of Berlin, but hasn't found them yet. Still, the trip has not been unsatisfying. Harding says just traveling back to Germany and speaking to people who remembered that day was worth the trip. And just maybe that kind of emotional closure is a treasure that can bridge the veil. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves offers his opinion on the new rules proposed for New York's Hudson River VFR corridor. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.